Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Now, there are 42 quasi-government agencies in Massachusetts. They provide public services and receive state financial support, but operate in a somewhat independent manner. Now, overall, these agencies represent about a third of taxpayer dollars spent in the state, according to the state comptroller's office. But after the passage of a 2010 transparency law, these agencies were also required to provide their financial records to the state, including payroll and spending data, so that it could be posted online. But a Boston Globe report out today has found that 19 of these quasi-public agencies haven't been doing this. They've not disclosed financial data for at least one of the past 3 years. So here to tell us more is Mike Bellow. He's deputy city editor for the Boston Globe. Hi there, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So first of all, tell us briefly, what types of information are these quasi-public agencies actually required to provide under state law?
Well, they're required to provide information regarding what they, the revenue they use, payroll data. There's a state law currently on the books that says basically these agencies have to provide this in a timely fashion. What's interesting is, you got these 19 agencies who've apparently have not published, millions of dollars in payroll and spending data on this state transparency website. They're kind of these quasi-government agencies established by the state. They provide public services and receive state financial support, but are legally structured to operate, kind of independently. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, at the end of the day, it's lawmakers say it's all taxpayer money. People should know what they do and how they operate.
Yeah. So tell me some of the specifics then. Which one of these agencies or which ones, some of them, haven't been reporting this information and what haven't they been reporting?
Well, let's take the Mass Convention Center Authority. Until the Globe asked the agency about missing records, had not updated their online payroll records since the fall of 2016. Spending data for the most recent fiscal year were also missing from the public site. It is a payroll of about $20 million. You got the Steamship Authority, which handles all the steamships going back and forth between the Cape and the islands. Their stuff has not been around for a long time, for a number of years. And they claim they've had some kind of snafu with actually putting the stuff up online. They're transferring to more computerized records. We have the UMass Building Authority. They hadn't published spending data on the transparency website since May of 2015. Hmm. They spend about $500 million annually. By the way, the Steamship Authority spends $30 million annually, and wow, they haven't published any payroll records
wow
at all.
So we're talking about a lot of money here then. So what did some of these agencies then tell the Globe about why they hadn't put these records online?
There were different excuses. Some said, they couldn't get the computers up to line. They're trying to get the snafus out. Other people said they were just trying to update it. It was a gradual thing. So there were different excuses. They're all trying to do it. They say they're trying to conform to this law, which was passed back in 2010, that said all these agencies really had to post their payroll and other spending data. So they all say they're in the process. The Baker administration, some people connected with some of these offices, are basically saying, well, we can't, we think they should do it. We want them to do it, but they can't go to court, I guess, to force them to do it at this point under state law.
Okay, so but help me understand something here, because the sausage making isn't pretty, but we got to understand it here. Because from what I see, the Office of Administration and Finance and the State Comptroller's Office are both saying that they actually have no legal authority to force the agencies to comply with state transparency laws.
That's right. And we even talked to the state comptroller, Thomas Schack, who said he can't force compliance, but he's basically telling the agencies you have to step up. So under this law, there's no way with penalties to force them to do it. They should do it. They're mandated to do it, but they can't actually force them to do it.
Okay,
they have no legal authority.
So that's
unless,
why,
of course, you change the legislation.
Got it. So that's why you were saying that they would have to go to court if they really wanted to force the issue in a way.
If they'd have to somehow do it that way. I mean, there's a state representative we talked to, Antonio Cabral of New Bedford, who helped craft this 2010 transparency legislation. He says agencies flouting the statute can't claim ignorance. You know, it basically says this isn't something we passed yesterday. He's hoping now that every agency and every authority who knows they have to report should report. And what's interesting is, you know, until we start looking at the state police and, you know, the failure to disclose pay records for the state police's Troop F, we didn't know a whole lot about this. So now it kind of looked at all these other agencies and said, wow, a lot of people aren't reporting this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they've been kind of flying under the budget radar for a long time. I mean, those are the words for the Massachusetts Public Interest Research Group from back in 2010.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They did a whole report highlighting how many quasi-agencies struggle with transparency. You know, I mean, there are a lot of other agencies who have complied. So it's not like every state agency hasn't done this. But, you know, it's a big state government's huge, billions and billions of dollars. So, you know, looking at the vast armada of forces they have, it certainly requires everyone to, you know, a wake-up call. And I think a lot of people, lawmakers included, are saying, hey, everyone needs to know what state agencies are doing and how they're spending their money.
Yeah, so last question then on that point then, Mike. I mean, wake-up call for sure. But as you said at the beginning of our conversation, I mean, these are quasi-public agencies, though, that were created by the state. And what I'm hearing you say is that, like, they've got a lot of leeway. They're handling billions of dollars of taxpayer money. I mean, is there any appetite on Beacon Hill to legislate a way to greater transparency? In other words, changing the law so that they would have to comply.
Well, we haven't explored that.
Okay.
You know, I think lawmakers, you know, the gut feeling is you'd probably have to see far more widespread of non-reporting before that took place. So I think, you know, as we do our own investigation, certainly if and when we uncover more, I think, you know, more people would be interested in saying, hey, we've got to change the law to make people comply and put some more teeth behind it.
Got it. That's Mike Bellow, deputy city editor at the Boston Globe, talking to us today about the Globe's report on some lack of transparencies in some of Massachusetts' quasi-public agencies. We've got a link to the Globe's reporting at radioboston.org. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you.
New England's seacoast is home to some of the earliest history of European settlers anywhere in the country, and much of that history is still being uncovered. But now climate change and rising seas are adding new urgency to those efforts. New England News Collaborative reporter Jason Moon joined a researcher for a hike to a centuries-old archaeological site in New Hampshire that is literally washing away.
UNH anthropologist Megan Howie has a map. It was made in 1635, and it shows the location of garrison houses that once stood near Great Bay in what is now Durham. Garrison houses, in case you're wondering, are a sort of fortified log cabin built by early colonial settlers in New England. But Howie says even though we've had this map for almost 400 years, until recently, no one's actually gone out to find the sites, to look for what may have been left behind.
It's pretty shocking, so I would say, you know, the emphasis has been on the sites that would draw tourists, right? So there's a lot out there that's just completely unknown.
Howie is leading me through the woods to a secret archaeological site where last summer she found some of that unknown history. The site is secret because it contains artifacts and human remains that can be a target for looters. Howie and a team of volunteers discovered the location of one of the garrison houses on that map. The remains of a structure where some of the earliest Europeans to ever be in this region lived, worked, and died. But that exciting discovery came with some sobering news.
All right, I found it. Oh, geez, it's wet.
We reach the end of the forest, where a steep bank drops down to a narrow strip of sandy beach. Howie points to the ground beneath our feet, and I realize she's not showing me what's here so much as what's gone. Most of the land where the garrison house once stood has been eaten away by the rising tidal water of the bay.
Like, quite literally washing away. And it's gone. Whatever the artifacts, everything with it, they've been, over the years, just washed away.
All that's left is one corner of the foundation. And just a few feet away, Howie points out a couple of bricks submerged in the shallow, salty water.
Oh, my God.
Right there, yeah.
So, that rig is probably from the 1600s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here
it's probably
it is
from the chimney, yeah.
So and most of the site is lost.
Yeah, it's gone. It's a pretty, it was a depressing find. It was a great find, but it's a bummer. That's all I could kind of, that's like, that's how we felt last summer. Like, this is so cool and this is so sad.
After Howie found this, she wondered how many other historic sites could be at risk of a similar fate, of being submerged in a rising sea or being carried away by stronger storm surges. She combined sea level rise projections from climate scientists with the location of historic sites on the seacoast. She found that about 1 in 7 of the region's known historic sites are at risk. But even that number could be a low estimate because it doesn't include sites like this one, which weren't known until Howie found it just last year. And it's not just bricks that are being lost. Not far from the site of the Garrison House is where the settlers who lived here buried their dead. It's a cemetery that contains some of the first Europeans to live in this area, and every year the tidal waters inch closer.
And it's only a matter of years before bodies probably come out of the bank, you know?
In many cases, saving historic sites like this from climate change just isn't feasible. So the best Howie can do is to document what's here before it's gone. It's an archaeological race against time.
I feel a great sense of urgency, especially after finding these sites are washing away, you know? Part of me thinks I'm 20 years too late to the problem, you know?
This summer, Howie is hoping to identify more Garrison sites. She says she wants to find as many as possible while she still can.
That report from New England News Collaborative reporter Jason Moon. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.